upholding your prophetic word. Upholding your prophetic word. Every time believers or children of God are starting a journey, they always wait on God. At least most of us do. It is the custom of most believers, most Christians. When you want to get married, you pray. You want to know what God has to say about your marriage. When you want to travel, you pray. And you want to know what God has to say about your traveling. When you're about to start a business, you pray. And you want to know what God has to say about the business. Some even go further to consult prophets, hear the word of the Lord from the prophet. It's good. Some also go into long fasts. Some go to the mountains to seek the face of God. And usually, when you seek the face of God concerning these things, He gives you a word. God gives you a word. When you're starting ministry and you seek the face of God, He gives you a word. When you're going to marry and you seek the face of God, He gives you a word. When you are starting a new year, you know, 31st night, some of us go to the mountains, or we go into separation and we pray, we have fastings and we wait on God. We want to know what God has for us in the new year. I'm sure when you were crossing over from 2019 to 2020, you waited on God. You prayed. Most churches had programs. We had all nights. We had prophetic services. And God spoke to us about our lives and about our destinies for in the new year. When you want to start a business, the same thing. Any adventure that you embark on in life, when you wait on God or you seek the face of God, He gives you a word for that adventure. Every pursuit in life, the commencement of every pursuit in life for which we seek the face of God, He gives us His word. And that word which God gives you is your prophetic word. That word which God gives you is your prophetic word. And your prophetic word is what you must hold on to. Your prophetic word is what will carry you from the beginning of the journey to the end of the journey. Your prophetic word is what gives you a certain assurance that God will see you through. Your prophetic word is what usually gives you that energy, enthusiasm to even begin the journey in the first place. Sometimes when you are starting, it's fearful. You're afraid. It's shaky. You're not sure. There are a lot of uncertainties. But when you hear a word from the Lord, when you hear a word from the Lord, when you know that God has spoken about the thing, you start with some vim. You start with energy. You are convinced that God wants you to do it, and you go all out and you do it. But most of the time, when you get halfway into the journey, when you have gone a certain distance into the journey, challenges will come up. And when challenges come up, most people forget what God told them at the beginning of the journey. Most people give away, they throw away, they throw their hands in the air. They forsake the prophetic word that they received about the venture or the pursuit that they began. They forsake their prophetic word. They give up on their prophetic word. So I want to share with you how you can hold on to your prophetic word and why you must hold on to your prophetic word. And we're going to start with the whys first, because there is a reason for which God sends you His word. This is a series that we're going to do over a number of weeks. I'm going to try and give you a point or two every moment so that you ponder over it and you have a deeper understanding of it. So, is it a good thing? Amen. God bless you. When you understand why God sent you a word, it will encourage you to hold on to the word better. When you understand why God spoke to you in the first place, you see, when someone gives you a gift, and you understand the motive behind the gift, it enables you to be a faithful custodian of the gift. When I give you a gift because of love, I have two sons. In ministry, I have a lot of sons. When I pick one of my sons out and I buy a shirt for him, he must understand the value that I place behind the gift. And when he understands the value behind the gift, he will care for the gift. He will appreciate it better. He will treat the gift with respect and honor. You see that of all his shirts, he will value the shirt that pastor gave him in a certain way. He will treat it as a special. If your pastor gives you a gift, if I buy you a shoe, there are some places you will not even wear that shoe. You want to wear the shoe to only special. Hey, this one is a gift from my pastor. Why? Because you place value on the gift because of where it has come from. In the same way, when God gives you a prophetic word, you see, anything God will do for you is in his word. If God wants to give you a car, it's a word he will give you. If God wants to give you a business, it's a word he will give you. Anytime God wants to do something in your life, it's a word he will give you. And that word is what we call a prophetic word. Prophetic word is not necessarily what a prophet says to you. A prophetic word is what God says to you. And when God is giving you a prophetic word, it may come through a prophet, it may come through a pastor, it may even come through your own study of the word, it may come through a dream, it may come through an intuition, a conviction. But a prophetic word is a word that God has given to you. A specific word about your business, about your marriage, about your traveling, about anything that you have sought his face concerning. So when you understand why God gives you the word, it makes you appreciate it. It makes you place value on it, because that is the word that will carry you throughout the period that you are embarking on your adventure. So why does God give us a prophetic word? When we understand the whys, we will now go to how we can uphold the word in times of challenges or difficulties or uncertainties. Number one reason why God gives you a prophetic word is so that you will know what has been apportioned for you. So that you will know what has been apportioned for you. God gives you a prophetic, God sends you a word so that you will know what has been apportioned for you. You see, life is such that we are all in a big world, but we are not on the same level. Help me say that in a better way. We are not traveling in the same road. You see, the path of my destiny is different from the path of your destiny. You understand the paths of destiny better when you understand that each one of us here has a unique and different fingerprint. Each one of us here. The iris in your eyes are different from everybody else in this world. There are certain unique features God gives you that nobody else in this world, even if you are twins or triplets, you will never have the same iris, you never have the same fingerprints. You never have the same toe prints. See the lines under your toes. They are different for everybody. And there are more features in your body that are unique, specifically designed for only you, genetically framed for only you. Only you possess them. That is how destiny is. There are things in this life designed and apportioned for you. And whenever you come into this life and you become born again, one of the first things you must discover for yourself is what exactly God wants you to do, how he wants you to live your life, how he has designed your destiny so that you will walk in it. So a prophetic word comes for you to know what has been apportioned for you. Amen. A prophetic word comes so that you will know what has been apportioned for you. When you know what has been apportioned for you, you will know what steps to take. You know how to live your life. You know how to organize yourself. You know how to pray. You will know what to fight for and what not to fight for. You know what to be sad about and what not to be sad about. When the thing is yours and you lose it, you have to go fight for it and get it. But when the thing is not yours and you lose it, why bother? when the thing is not yours and you've lost it, why bother? Amen. So a prophetic word comes for you to know what is really yours, so that when something happens, you will know how to react. When you don't know what is yours, you go chasing after everything. Yeah. When you don't know what is yours, you go chasing after everything. So sometimes it's important that you know what God has apportioned for you. When you read the book of Acts chapter 13 verse 2, the apostles were together, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." You see, that's a prophetic word. That's a very specific prophetic word. The Spirit of God spoke to the apostles and said, "Separate for me, Barnabas and Saul. I have a specific assignment for these people. So separate them for me." So you see, when God sends a prophetic word to you, and he makes you aware of what has been designed or apportioned or prepared for you to do, the next thing is separation. Just separate them for me. So you become unique. You become separate, consecrated. You become special because you know what has been apportioned for you, and you are walking in what has been apportioned for you. Bible says there is a way. There is a way that a child must grow. Train up a child in the way he must grow, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. You see, even parenting requires that you receive a prophetic word about your children so that you know what God has apportioned for them. Even parenting, in raising children, you must know the way that God has designed them and the details of their destiny. You may not know all the details, but you may know certain specific details that they must not miss. If they miss it, they will crash in life. If they miss it, they will crash. If you miss certain specific details about your life, you will crash. Amen. A lot of people have gone chasing after many things, and Bible says that they have made a shipwreck of their faith. They have made a shipwreck of their faith. Now let's look at a scripture in 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. And verse 30. 2 Kings 10. And then verse 30. This is God sending a word to Jehu, one of the captains of the armies of Israel, who did a coup against the house of Ahab. He overthrew Ahab, and he was in the plot that resulted in the death of Jezebel. And all that he did was the will of God. Now let's see what God says to Jehu. "And the Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel." Amen. Let me read it in the New King James Version. See if we can have it in a more understandable format. "And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation." Hallelujah. Now, this is God telling Jehu that, "Jehu, because you have served my purposes faithfully and you have carried out the assignment for which I called you, this is what I, the Lord, has also apportioned for you. This is the reward that I have designed for you. This is the reward that I have reserved for you. Your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel for four generations." So God was revealing to Jehu the rewards of his service. God was revealing to Jehu what was ahead of him. God was revealing to Jehu what has been apportioned for him. Now, if somebody else rises up in the land of Israel to contest against or to contest with the sons of Jehu for the throne of Israel, they can rightfully fight the person, because until the fourth generation of his sons, nobody else must sit on the throne apart from him. This is what it is God that has apportioned it. God has designed. And when God apportions something for you, child of God, hear me. When God apportions this for you, there will be contentions. The fact that God has apportioned it to you doesn't mean that you will not face contention or you will not face opposition. You will face opposition. But when you know that it is God who has given it to you, you will know how to fight and take it. Amen. The kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God belongs to some people, but even the people that it belongs to, we still have to fight. We still have to fight for it. If you do not fight, you lose it. Amen. So when God has apportioned something for you, he makes you aware, and that's why he's sending you a prophetic word. So when you were starting that business, God gave you a specific word about the business. When you got halfway, or when you went 3 years into the business, 4 years, 5 years into the business, and you are facing challenges, what you must do now is remember what God said about the business in the beginning and use it to fight for the business. Don't give up midway. Don't throw your hands in the air midway. Don't say, oh, I have put in all that I must. Oh, that thing is not working. It's not working. This economy is not making my business to flourish. I am leaving the country. Is that what God told you? Did God tell you that in your fifth year or your fourth year, you should leave the country and go and start a business somewhere? Is the challenge you are going through too much for God to sort you out? You have forsaken your prophetic word. And so you are. You are finding it difficult to continue. You are finding it difficult to remain in the thing that you started. And that is why there are people who cannot do one thing for a long time. They are inconsistent. They are unstable in all that they do because they forsake the word that God gives them. They throw it away. They are not able to stay focused on one thing. They are not able to pursue one thing. Consistency is what breeds progress. Consistency breeds progress. But when you are not consistent in your ways, and usually one of the reasons why you are not consistent is because you do not have a basis for your consistency. You do not have a word. You do not have your prophetic word, because when your prophetic word is alive and active in you, it keeps you doing what you must do. And if you have to do it for 10 years, because sometimes for a year for 1 year that will make you prosperous, you need about 10 years. Years of faithfulness to reach it. I say, yeah, for 1 year for which you will discover prosperity, that 1 year that will make you prosperous, that 1 year that will make you successful, that 1 year that will bring you a blessing, you must be faithful, you must be consistent, you must have tenacity, you must have passion to stay in your race for 10 years before you reach that 1 year. Sometimes you have to stand your ground for 15 years before you reach that 1 year. Sometimes you have to stand your ground for 20 years before you reach that 1 year. Most of you have heard the story of Kentucky Fried Chicken. That man was a soldier man. And after the war, he was poor, started so many things, did a lot of things, and still all of them didn't work. When he discovered the recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken, which today has become a global business, he was in his old age, 60s or 70s, I guess. He was in his old age. So sometimes you have to travel the road of life for years before you discover the one thing that will make you successful. So if you are not consistent, if you are not faithful, if you forsake everything that you start, at a point, you will not have the energy to start anything again. Bible says, bear the burden in the time of your youth. It is good to bear the burden in the time of youth. So you see, if you do not stay faithful to bear the burden, the fact that God says that your business, I will use your business to bless you and I'll carry you to the ends of the earth and your business will become a global business, it doesn't mean there will not be challenges. There will be challenges. But God is telling you this so that you will know what he has apportioned for you. He's telling you this so you will know that the business, it will prosper. It will prosper. It will be well. It will go well. But when you got into 2020 and the said coronavirus has hit the world, you have given up on the business. And now your destiny is full of uncertainties. Coronavirus cannot displace the power of God. Amen. Global pandemic cannot stop what God has said about your business, about your marriage, about your family, about your health, about your children, about your ministry. Don't give up just because something changed in the middle of the way. Anything can change. Only the word of God is constant. And that is why you must not forget your prophetic word. Hold on to the word, because you will have a lot of variables on the road of destiny. But when you know what the constant is, the equation will always favor you. I say what? You will have a lot of variables on the road to destiny. But when you hold on to the one thing that is constant, the equation will always favor you. So God sends your prophetic word so you will know what has been apportioned for you. And that's what God told Jehu. Jehu, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with royalty. Your bloodline, four generations after you, they will all reign in Israel. They will sit on the throne as kings. Now, that scripture came to pass. When you read the same 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 12, what God said to Jehu came to pass. It was real, it was true, it was vivid, it was clear, it came to pass fully. Let's read it. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 12. Everything God has said about you will come to pass. He said, this was the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. And so it was. Whatever God told you at the beginning of that business, so it shall be. Whatever God told you when you were going to marry, so it shall be. Whatever God told you at the beginning of your ministry, so it shall be. Whatever God told you concerning the year 2020, 2021, the next 10 years, 5 years, so it shall be. Now, what you must do is hold on to what God said. Even in the face of seeming challenges and seeming uncertainties, hold on to what God said. Now, let me teach you a faith concept. The enemy will always try to make God a liar. Life will always try to make God a liar. The word you receive will be challenged. Your faith will be challenged. Your faith in God will be challenged. Your momentum, your passion, your enthusiasm for your business, for your marriage, or whatever you are pursuing in life will be challenged. What you must do by principle of faith is to always exalt the word of God above all those challenges. When the challenges come, uphold the word, exalt the word. Say to your spirit, this is what God said, and I believe him. See, the word you hold on to is the word that holds on to you. I was sharing with a daughter of mine a few weeks back. We prayed about certain prayer requests that she presented. Now, just after we had prayed about it, I gave her a word, scriptural word. And I told her, this is the word the Lord says I should give you. So go and walk with this word. Walk in the understanding and in the light of this word. Now, a week after we had prayed about the matter, she met a lady friend who is some form of a prophetess, and the prophetess gave her a contrary prophecy to the thing that we had prayed about. And the prophecy the friend gave her now brought fear into her, because it was like all the prayers we prayed and God didn't answer. So she called me and said, Papa, this is what my friend B is telling me. Then I said unto her, my child, the word you hold on to is the word that holds on to you. We have prayed about the matter. We have received the word from the Lord. Now you have gone and you have heard a contrary report. Are you going to forsake what God told us and hold on to the contrary report? Or you are going to exalt the word you received in prayer against the contrary report? The enemy will bring you a contrary report. Sometimes a prophet may be genuine, but his prophecy may be late. Hear me? A prophet can be very correct, a genuine prophet, but his prophecy can be late. He might be saying that you have an issue of spiritual marriage. Maybe just yesterday you went for deliverance and the thing was broken, and he's not saying that one, because Bible says we see in part and we prophesy in part. It is not every report you receive that you must accept. The report you must accept is the report God gives you. God's word is the current news. God's word is current news. God's word is current news. If you want what is news for your destiny, it is what God says to you. So when you have gone to God and God has given you a word, every word you receive 31st night for 2020, it is the word you must hold on to. I don't care how many people are dying of coronavirus. God didn't tell me that I would die this year of coronavirus. Me and my house, we are exempted from it. What we uphold is what holds on to us. What word are you holding on to? Are you holding on to what God told you? Or you are forsaking what God told you? Everything God said he was going to do for you this year, 2020, are you believing it? Or because of coronavirus, you are now living in doubt? Corona or no corona, what God says he will do, he can do and do even more. When God gives you a word and says, this is what I have apportioned for you, this is what I have prepared for you, this is what I have designed for you, there is enough power in that word to see to it that what God has said comes to pass. So God said, the word that I sent to you shall not return unto me void. Rather, it shall do what? It shall perform. It shall fulfill every detail for which it was sent. So child of God, every word of God that you received carries enough power to perform. What you need to do is to uphold it in faith. If you uphold the word of God in faith, you shall have your performance. God doesn't need the whole of 2020 to bless you. God can bless you the last day of 2020 and turn your whole life around. But what you will do between now and the last day of that year 2020 is what matters. If you will hold on to the word of God and uphold the word of God and trust in the word of God and confess the word of God and live by the word of God and make the word of God the truth of your life, I say, it can only even be 31st night of 2020. And all that God said he would do, he can do all of them for you, bam, in one day. So I came to encourage you. Do not throw away your prophetic word. Do not cast off the prophecies that came before you. Before you entered this year, I'm sure you received some prophecies. Before you got married, I'm sure you received some prophecies. Before you had your children, I'm sure you received some prophecies. Before you started the business, I'm sure you received some prophecies. Before you traveled out of Ghana and you are in the US, you are in the UK, you are in Australia, and there are uncertainties, things are not going well, I'm sure you received some prophecies before you traveled. You sought the face of God before you traveled. Be patient. Go back to what God said unto you and be patient. And uphold the word. Encourage yourself. Stir up your zeal and your faith by what God said to you. And once you uphold that word, relax. That word carries enough power to perform. It will perform. It will manifest. You will receive your testimony. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us say a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word comes with power. Your word comes with light. Your word comes to build us up in our faith. And I believe that today, the faith of your people have been well built up and edified. I pray in the name of Jesus, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice who has forsaken his prophetic word, the word you sent to him to reveal to him what you have in the future for him, please quicken them again to it. Let them be stirred up. Let the Spirit of God engage their minds, engage their hearts, engage them in their thinkings. And let their word be rekindled in them. Let the prophetic message that you gave us at the beginning of the year be rekindled in us. You said this is the year of fullness and sweetness. So we know, even when the world is in famine, we will have fullness when there is sweetness. You said, out of the fullness of your house, you will satisfy us. So we know that there is enough power in your house to satisfy us. We pray in the name of Jesus, whatever word that God has given to us, we command it to be sure, to be true, and to bring a performance and establish a testimony for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with thanksgiving. Everybody say a big amen. God bless you.